house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone, turn around and tell somebody, that's you. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall, that or that doeth them not, shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blow and beat upon it, upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So the Bible tells us how to survive the storms of life. Now I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 9. And since we're talking about storms, we might as well talk about Noah a little bit tonight. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 28. One passage of scripture that I want the Lord to get into your spirit tonight. Genesis chapter 9. And read it out loud with me, everybody. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Now you say that's a kind of a strange scripture to talk about. But the title of the message tonight is Surviving the Storms of Life. Life, there's life after your flood. Yes. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. Anoint your servant to preach the word of God. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are an awesome and amazing God. Thank you for touching Brother Ray and others. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight, and God bless you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 28 that Noah lived after the flood. Somebody say after the flood. 350 years. You see, Noah lived up to the flood about 600 years. But the Bible says a flood came, and we know the flood, we know it in history. But the Bible says that after that flood, he lived another 350 years. So I want you to turn around and tell somebody there's life after the flood. Amen. Now think of all that Noah went through before the flood. I mean, he had to build an ark, and that was work. Has anybody been to work in the last year or so? Raise your hand. Amen. Has anybody been to work in the last month or so? Raise your hand. Has anybody been to work today? Raise your hand. Amen. Noah worked, and not only did he work, but he didn't seemingly have a lot of results. In fact, if you read in the New Testament, we even can understand that he was under a lot of ridicule. Noah, why are you building a house? Why are you building a boat? It's never rained before. You've heard from God. The ridicule, the same ridicule they give us today, they gave Noah. Come on now. And so think of not only before the flood, him building the ark, think of the ridicule. Now don't you think every now and then, now he knew he heard from the Lord. He knew he heard from the Lord, but I don't know about you, but it could probably be a little discouraging because it didn't happen in a year. It took 120 years for him to build that ark and preach. And all of those people heard that message, none of them received it. It had to be, if Noah was a picture of discouragement, he knew he heard from the Lord. And we can hear from the Lord, but sometimes when we see the results and the circumstances, that's when the old enemy of discouragement rises its ugly head. Now, not only did he build the ark, but he actually got on the ark. Praise God for that. But 40 days cooped up in the ark. Oh, can you imagine with all of the livestock there? Can you imagine just there was only one window. So I tell you, it probably wasn't a Caribbean cruise. I promise you, it wasn't that. But the good news was he was a survivor. Amen. Praise God, he was kept sheltered in the arms of the Lord. He was on the ark of grace. Thank God, if the whole world rejected it, that's all right. As for me and my house and his three sons, he survived the storm. Can you say amen? Amen. Then there came the day that he lived after the flood. And I want to talk to you tonight about living after your flood. I don't know what life has thrown at you. I don't know what people have done to you. I don't know what circumstances you face or what the doctor has said. But I want you to know there is life, just like for Noah, after your flood. You may have gone through the floods of debt. You may have gone through the floods of divorce. You may have gone through the floods of disease. You may have gone through the floods of discouragement. You may have been fired. You may have been cheated on. You may have been forgotten. You may have been overlooked. You may have been overpassed. You may have been molested. You may have been raped. You may have been abused. You may have been misunderstood, and you may have been underappreciated. And I just want to know, have I just about covered it all tonight? But let me tell you, there's life after the flood. You see, the floods come. Go to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. And Wilson is notorious for just a little extra rain, and it's like the whole city shuts down. You can't get on Airport Boulevard. You better not go down Toys Not. You better be across Wiggins Mill and over to Parker's Barbecue before that water starts flowing across the 301 down there. I'm telling you, it's like our system is just, it just floods. I remember I was driving a school bus, and I mean, it came a torrential downpour. I didn't think I'd ever get those kids to school that day. And of course, they were all sitting there nice and quiet too, right? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. If you're there, say amen. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Number one, there will be flood. This is not my main point. This is sub-point before I get to the main point. Number one is that floods will come. And number two, sub-point number two, introduction, you'll get through the floods. I said there's life after your flood. And there's life after your discouragement. The storms are coming. Discouragement comes. But there'll be life after that. John Maxwell said, I have found that there are really only two kinds of people in this world when it comes to dealing with discouragement. Splatters and bouncers. When splatters hit rock bottom, they fall apart and they stick to the bottom like glue. On the other hand, when bouncers hit the bottom, they pull together and they bounce back. Paul J. Meyer, founder of Success Motivation Institute, says 90% of those who fail are actually not defeated. They simply quit. That's what discouragement can do if you don't handle it the right way. It can cause you to quit. Since you will become discouraged at some point, the question is, are you going to give up or are you going to get up? Woohoo! I want to ask you tonight, are you going to give up or are you going to get up? Thank God that we can make it through the storms of life. I may be down, but I am not out. Jesus was down into the, went down to the grave, down to the hell, but on the third day, he rose up from the grave. There is life after the flood. There was life after Calvary. Thank God there'll be life after this life on earth when it ends. It is not over till it's over. Thank God. And with God, it's never over. We're always going to see a brighter day. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? I said there's life after the flood. After your discouragement. Praise God. Main point number one. Never allow your memories of the past to become greater than the dreams for the future. Isn't that a great temptation? We go through things and we say it was so much better when. We long for the good old days. The children of Israel did this. When things got tough in the wilderness, they forgot the dream for the promised land and they began to think about the good old days, but the good old days, they were in slavery and they ate onions and garlic and leeks. Look at Genesis chapter 41, verse 51 through 52. No one had faced more storms of life than Joseph. As a young man, he faced the storm of hatred and jealousy, betrayal. He even faced the storm of certain death had God not intervened. But Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, God blessed Joseph, and there was life after his storm. And he had two boys. And Joseph, Genesis 41, verse 51, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me to what? Forget all my toil and my father's house. We just got to learn to forget it. I know they threw you in the pit. I know that even mom and dad didn't really believe your dreams like you had hoped they did. And I know that you, Potiphar's wife, really did you wrong. And I know that your life is just have you ever been around people? It's just all the time something wrong. And I know, listen, I don't have to watch a tearjerker. You know, my wife, she loves to watch movies that make you cry and things like that. I said, honey, I don't have to pay to cry. I can just cry if I want to think about the disappointments of my life. But listen, I'm here to tell you, you've got to learn to forget the past. Listen, Joseph said, I'm going to forget it. That was a decision. It was a declaration. And it was a motivation for him. And when he had his second son, look at verse 52. And the name of his second son, he called Ephraim. He called Ephraim for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons he became fruitful in the land of his affliction was because he became forgetful of his father's house and all the toil. You can't be fruitful until you learn to forget a few things here and there. Well, I know what she told me back 13 years ago, and it hurts to this day. You'll never be fruitful, praise God, until you learn to be forgetful. How is it that we're so easy to let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our sins and we forget our sins, and it's so hard for us to let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse and we forget other people's sins? My goodness, forget it, glory to God. Move on with life. Don't hang on to the bitterness. Praise God, there's life after the flood. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Move on in the name of Jesus. Dream for your future. You may be broke tonight, but God can turn that around. Amen. You may be sick tonight, but God can turn that around. I love this story about Robert E. Lee, the great general of the Civil War. After the war was over and the South had lost, he visited a woman in Kentucky. And this woman was so filled with bitterness over the war, she took General Lee out to the yard and showed him a great old tree that had been in her front yard. The limbs had been fragmented and broken by Northern artillery. And there was that what used to be a beautiful large tree was now, because of the war, a grotesque, ugly tree. And she brought Lee out and to see the tree, and she wanted him to see what the Union soldiers had done. And she was expecting him to complain about it and give her sympathy. And she said, General, look at that tree. What do you think about that tree and what the Northern people have done to that tree? And the great general said, Madam, cut it down and forget it. Now listen, there's some things we don't ever need to forget. We don't ever need to forget salvation. We don't ever need to forget God's grace. You don't ever need to forget your wife's birthday, if you're married, gentlemen, I promise you, you're going to have some discouragement. Amen. But Philippians chapter 3 says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There is life after your flood. Forget the past. Don't let the memories of the past overshadow the dream. I'm still dreaming. I'm still climbing. I'm still headed up. I know that any moment God can step in and things can change in a matter of time. There's suddenlies that come in life. Amen. Be faithful unto the end. Carry on, praise God. Let God bless you. Let Him make the rights wrong. Trust Him, and there's life after your flood. Can you say amen tonight? Number two, main point number two. When the flood waters are rising, when the storm is raging, do not break down right on the verge of your breakthrough. You see, when we're in the flood, there's always the temptation, listen to this, to quit. To quit. But we cannot break down before our breakthrough. Ecclesiastes, and I don't have this scripture up here, but I'll just quote it to you. To everything there is a time and a season. A time for every purpose under the sun or under the heaven. You remember that scripture, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time for this, a time for that. But nowhere in that passage do you find these words, that is a time to quit. Amen now. Praise God. This is not a time to quit. Do not quit your marriage if you're married. Do not quit your job. If you're just upset about things, you just wait on until God opens another door. Can I get a witness out there? Don't quit the church, for heaven's sakes. Amen. We have a lot of people that just quit church. See them out at Walmart. Round there, they got their shopping cart full. Hadn't paid a dollar. I ain't going to say that. They hadn't paid tithes in 5 years, but they got a shopping cart full of, you know, stuff that's not needed. Now, I'm not talking about groceries. Oh, Lord, I done got in trouble already tonight. You see them at Walmart. You see them all over. And you see them everywhere but church. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Listen, don't quit church. Well, I had somebody tell me not too long ago. A good friend of mine told me this. We are going to go to Raleigh to go to find a church because we just can't find a good church in Wilson. I'm like, what? You kidding me? Oh, I talked to another man. This man is a phenomenal man, very gifted, very talented. And come find out, he goes to Greenville, go down to a church. And he lives not far from here. Now, if God sends you to Greenville and God sends you to Raleigh, listen, go where God sends you. But I don't think it's that God's sending a lot of these people over there. I just think that they let people get under their skin. It's like the familiarity. Well, I know in that church, you know, they got problems. I know in that church, they got problems. Well, guess what? In the church in Raleigh, they got problems too. You just might not know about it. Well, that's probably good. I don't know about it, so I'm going to go. Well, let me tell you something. Don't quit the church. Amen. Listen, God put you in Wilson. You need to go to church in Wilson. I'm just going to put it on record. Amen. You don't need to travel 2 or 3 hours out here. Now Rocky Mount might be there, you know. But I tell you what. Here's a suggestion. Come to Westmoreland. Amen. And if you've got, now, if God's put you at another church, that's wonderful. We celebrate that. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. Praise God. Now, any church beyond Falkland, North Carolina, is off limits. Okay, as long as Falkland and back, you're okay. All right. I had to clear that up real quick, didn't I? Don't quit the church is what I'm trying to say. Don't quit. Keep going. Well, there's hypocrites at the church. Well, there's hypocrites at Walmart. There's hypocrites at Speedway, but I don't let that keep me from filling up my tank. My Lincoln ain't going to break down because some hypocrite goes to Speedway. Well, we can't find a preacher that preaches the truth. Are you kidding me? It's not that you can't find a preacher preaching the truth. You just don't want to hear the truth that the preachers are preaching. Because they know your business. They ring your bell and they check your mail. And you just think you go to Raleigh, hallelujah, or go to Greenville, or go to Goldsboro, or Greensboro, or wherever. But you, what you want to do is slip in the church where nobody can hold you accountable. You don't want to go to any church because you might just have to forgive somebody that acts ugly to you. So what? My goodness, you got to go to heaven, amen? Can I get a witness out there? You got to press through the lying sipping saints, the prophesying prophets. You got that woman with the issue of blood. She had to press through the hypocrite, press through the doubter, press through people that said you ought not to be here. And she touched the hem of his garment. My God, don't let people keep you from your blessing or from being a blessing. That was not in my notes tonight. Ha ha ha, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. People is people, no matter where you go. We're all struggling. Nobody's perfect. Amen? And no preachers are perfect. No preacher's wife is perfect. Preacher's kids, they're not perfect either. You see, sometimes people just trade one set of problems for another set of problems. Don't quit. Don't break down before your breakthrough. Hang in there. Believe God. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. It says, they came to Marah. They couldn't drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of that place was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? You know what happened? They had a breakdown. We're thirsty. Where's the water to drink? This is what they did. They did this attitude. Where is the water? Instead of saying, I'm thirsty, look around. God's getting ready to bring me some water. How many of you know that's a different attitude? Amen. Bitter waters come. Don't break down. Look at Exodus 15, verse 27. And they came to Elim, where there was 12 wells of water. 60 palm trees. They were in the middle of the wilderness, and there all of a sudden, wells of water. Do you know that to bring a well in the wilderness takes a lot of work? A well doesn't just sprung up overnight. In fact, if you'll read in the book of John where Jesus met the woman at the well, how many of you remember what the name of that well was? It was Jacob's well. Exactly. You know what that means? That means that Jacob dug that well. And it wasn't just a fly-by-night thing. He dug that well and he made that well so good and so strong and so effective that it survived through the generations, even to where long after he was dead, people were still getting blessed at his well. You know, I want to build some wells in my life so that when I'm gone, I want people to say, you know, at Ricky Nelms, you know, when he was here, he really preached holiness. He really preached sanctification. He really preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we ought to draw from that well that he did. Oh, Alec, can I get a witness out there? Please understand that God provided a well before they needed that water. God had already provided it. That well was there. They just hadn't seen it yet. They broke down before the breakthrough. You might not see a way, but it doesn't mean that God isn't going to make a way. Amen. You need to be like the Energizer Bunny. Y'all remember the Energizer Bunny? He kept. You need to keep praying and praying and praying. You need to keep fasting and fasting and fasting. You need to keep coming to church. You need to keep praising and praising and praising. You've got to have through faith. I said this the other night. If you've got discouragement, one time it says now faith is the substance. Six times it says through faith, through faith, through faith, through faith. In other words, you've got to have faith to get the breakthrough. Somebody say amen. When you're facing discouragement, number one, don't let the memories of the past be greater than the dreams of the future. And I just want to stop right here and say that God's got a future for you. God's got a plan for you. God has a plan for Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. Amen. God's got a plan for your ministry. God has a plan. He has a future, an expected end. God's got a plan, and I'm not talking about in the sweet by and by, 3 million years from now. He's got a plan then, but I'm talking about in the next few weeks, in the next few months. I believe in 2018, we're going to be able to see some things that God has planned for us. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Don't break down in 2017. If you break down in 2017, you might not get to the blessing of those 12 wells in 2018. 12 wells, one for each month. Hi, how you like that? That's some on-the-spot inspiration there. Hallelujah. And 70 palm trees. Wow. I think of Hawaii when I think of palm trees. You know, who knows? God might, who was I talking to? Oh, Lydia Figueroa said she was going on a missions trip. And she said, Sister Lydia Figueroa, she says, I want my kids to give me money for the upcoming missions trip. And I'm over there thinking, you know, she's getting ready to go to some hard place where there's a lot of savages out there and they don't know the language and no running water. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I ought to give her something. And I said, well, Sister Lydia, where are y'all going on a mission trip? She said, oh, we're going to a faraway island. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. She said, I said, well, where's that island at? She said, the Pacific. Now, I'm just making some of this up. And then she said, Hawaii. Come on now. You know what? God might just have a Hawaii around the corner. I'm not talking about physically, but spiritually. Amen. God is a refreshing God that at times replenishes us. Those 12 wells and 70 palm trees. Can you say amen? And then finally tonight, when you're facing the storms of life, when you're facing discouragement, number three, don't make a permanent decision based on temporary circumstances. Do you know what? That's what a lot of people who commit suicide do that. I had a friend of mine, the man that hired me at Best Buy. 24 years old. Well, he would have been 26 now. He's exactly 20 years younger than me. I could have been his dad. He hired me at Best Buy. And he moved on and we got news that he had committed suicide. And I said, oh, God, may I always be reminded that the people I work with, the people that I minister to, and the people that the devil wants them to steal, kill, and destroy. And the suicide is a permanent decision based on temporary stuff. Oh, let me tell you, there with God, the Bible says that He wants us to have life. And what's the rest of it? And life. We're going to get through this. We're going to get over this. We've got to obey the Lord, and we can't break down, and we can't get hung up on yesterday. So we've got to move by faith. Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. Esau made a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. Come on now. It says that, if I'm quoting the scripture right, it says he sought the birthright with tears. But it wasn't that he sought the blessing. Something like that. I may have that wrong. He sought the wrong thing. God is a God of repentance. He could have repented, but his heart wasn't right. He wasn't repenting. He was just sorry that he lost the birthright, but he wasn't sorry that he lost the blessing, because there's a blessing in the birthright. Can you say amen out there tonight? You see, circumstances are temporary. What I face today, if I can just live for tomorrow, will be totally different than what I'm going through right now. I'm saying this in the Lord. Circumstances are temporary. It's like the stock market just goes up and down, up and down. But God is in your tomorrows. Things will get better. Turn around and tell somebody, things are getting better. Not always going to stay that way. God is up to something. Let me explain it to you this way, and then I'm going to close, and I got a couple of things I want to close with. But I read this many years ago, and I've never forgot it. It's a little bit of a poem, and I don't usually quote poetry, but just listen to this. If it blesses you, I think you'll enjoy it. It's about a village. There once was a village that had among its people a very old wise man. The villagers trusted this man to provide them answers to their questions. And one day, a farmer from the village went to the wise man and said in a frantic tone, "Wise man, help me. A horrible thing has happened. My ox has died, and I have no animal to help me plow my field. Isn't this the worst thing that could have possibly happened?" The wise man replied, "Maybe so, maybe not." The man hurried back into the village and reported to his neighbors, "The wise man has gone crazy. Surely he must understand this is the worst thing that could have happened. Why couldn't he see this?" The next day, however, a strong young horse was seen near the man's farm. Because the man had no ox to rely on, he had the idea to catch the horse to replace his ox. And so he did. And how joyful the farmer was. Plowing the field with the horse was even easier. He went back to the wise man to apologize. He said, "You are right, wise man. Losing my ox wasn't the worst thing that could have happened. It was a blessing in disguise. I never would have captured my new horse had that not happened. You must agree that finding that horse was the best thing that could have happened, Mr. Wise Man." And you know what he responded back? He said, "Maybe so, maybe not." "Now again," thought the farmer, "surely the wise man has gone mad now." But once again, the farmer did not know what was about to happen. A few days later, the farmer's son was riding the horse and was thrown off. He broke his leg and would not be able to help with the harvest. "Oh no," thought the man. "Now we will starve to death." Once again, the farmer went to the wise man. This time he said, "How did you know that capturing that horse was not a good thing? You will ride again. My son is injured and won't be able to help with the crop. This time I'm sure that this is the worst thing that could have happened. You must agree." But just as before, the wise man said, "Maybe so, maybe not." Enraged that wise man could be so ignorant, the farmer stormed back to the village. The next day, troops arrived to take every able-bodied man to the war that had just broken out. However, the farmer's son was the only young man in the village who didn't have to go because his leg was broke. He would live while the others all died. The moral of this story provides a powerful lesson. The truth is, we don't know what's going to happen. We just think we do. Often we make a big deal out of something. We blow up our scenarios in our minds with the terrible things that are going to happen. Most of the time we're wrong. If we keep our cool, stay in peace, and stay open to God, we can be very certain eventually all will be well. Just remember, maybe so, maybe not. Say that with me tonight. Maybe so. "Well, I'm telling you, I lost my job, Pastor Ricky. That's got to be the worst thing that ever happened." Maybe so, maybe not. "Well, the church voted me out." I'm just talking to some of these preachers listening to my live stream. "Church voted me out. Worst thing that ever happened." Well, maybe so, but maybe not. Amen. Praise God, somebody. "Well, you know, the doctor told me I had some problem. That's the worst thing." Well, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe it's through that you'll be, God will do something greater in your life and through your life. Friend, just got to understand, don't be discouraged. You fight discouragement. You ward it off in Jesus' name. He is sovereign and He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I am coming through this. When I see my valley, I'm just not seeing a valley. I see a way to my next mountain. Glory to God. Thank the Lord that I am not depressed. I am not discouraged. I am going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to be right in there until the Lord calls me home. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. 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 Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to close with this scripture tonight. And then I'll tell you about Kim Fuke. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, I am your shield, thy exceeding great reward. Those first three words, say it with me. After these things. After these things. I didn't hear you.
After these things.
Let me tell you. After the things you're going through, I'm telling you, you be faithful to God. And He's going to bless you like you've never believed, like you've never dreamed in your life. Can you give Him a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. After these things. After these things. Father, thank you tonight that we are not going to break down before our breakthrough tonight. Thank you that the memories of the past are not going to outshine the dreams of tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, I'm not going to make a permanent decision based on something that's passing and fleeting. I'm not going to be, I'm not a splatter, I'm a bouncer. I'm coming back. When I hit rock bottom. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And Brother Clark, if you'll come and play on the piano. But Pastor, you can come on up as well. Years ago in the Vietnam War, our pastor served in Vietnam. But they bombed a village and a young girl ran from the village. A photographer for Life magazine took a picture of that little girl. You may have seen that picture. It's known, and you can Google it, the Vietnam girl picture from Vietnam. And you'll see that picture that the Life magazine, it was on the front of Life magazine. And the little girl was about 8 to 11 years of age. Her face was in horror. She's running for her life, and she has not got any clothes on whatsoever. She's pitiful, horrible. But the other day, I was watching the 700 Club, and they had that girl. She grew up. A family adopted her in California, and I'm just going to say a long story short. She's actually written a book. That's one of the books I want for Christmas. I want to read her story. Because today she's a phenomenal Christian. She ministers. If I were the women's ministries director of the conference, y'all need to laugh about that one, right? But I would have her come speak to the women. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. She has a message of forgiveness. She said, if I could meet the people that bombed my village, she said, I would offer nothing but forgiveness. Because in a way, it was through that led her to America and led her to Christ. Maybe so. Maybe not. In bombing my village, the worst thing? Maybe so. But maybe not. God can turn it all around. Forgive people, folks. Forgive them. Don't hold things against people. Go ahead, Brother Clark, whenever you're ready. Would you stand with me tonight? Lift your hands up and say, I'm not going to be discouraged. I declare war on discouragement. I'm surviving the storm of discouragement. My circumstances, after these things, I'm moving on, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. Lord, we give you the praise. Lord, we give you the glory. Lord, we give you the honor tonight. Lord. Amen. I got